This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anne M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time, the Babysitter's Club.
Hey, Tanner. Hey. Hi.
Hey.
Talk to me about this book.
My attention is just drifting tonight.
Yeah.
I am thinking about the future. I'm thinking about
the past.
Possible worlds. I'm thinking about everything we've been through together and what comes next. And I'm just sort of starting to plan for my retirement.
Demise?
I'm going to throw a big party, I think. And now that I'm kind of out from under your yoke, I'm going to like start doing a lot more recreational drugs, I
okay.
think, because I don't have to do those dang piss tests you've always got me doing. You know?
We got to keep this podcast on the level.
I'm just really looking forward to being done, to being out of the game.
You're not worried about having too much freedom without me breathing down your neck anymore?
Honestly, no. I feel like I've missed out on so much over the last few years, like video games I never got a chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women I never got a chance to love.
Okay.
Books I never got a chance to read, the good book.
Okay.
Skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing.
Yep.
2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. Just a life unlived.
Yeah.
And finally now in the twilight of my years, 36, I'll finally get a chance to take an honest run at it, you know? No more getting bogged down by podcasts, except for Patreon show, of course, and Experience Share Pokemon podcast.
We should probably stop doing the thing where we pretend that we're going to stop the podcast. Because I feel like we always lose some portion of listeners who like do like some soul searching and are like, yeah, that seems like a good place to end it.
We had a good run.
Here we are, by which I mean here I am in a different place, aren't I?
Yeah, you're in some kind of chalet.
Yeah.
In, I'm going to guess, North Texas?
It's one of the places of Texas. It's like, it's close enough to where I live in Texas that I still drive Cyril to daycare every morning.
Oh, it's so you're on sort of a staycation.
I mean, it's away.
Did you even leave Austin?
Yeah, just about.
Okay. Almost.
Yeah, it's like a 40-minute drive to daycare. I don't want to triangulate too much.
Okay.
But we're here, and every morning
Travis?
I wake Cyril up in this Airbnb.
You and Travis?
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
You still in the county?
Yes,
though?
I'm still in Travis County.
Okay. I want to understand where you are. I want to understand okay. who I'm talking to right
Every
now.
Morning,
I don't know who you are.
I wake Cyril up to take him to daycare, and he turns to me and he says, "Can we stay here forever?"
Is it that much better than your
There's
house
a pool.
House? It doesn't look that nice.
There's a pool.
I mean, it looks fine. It looks like a chalet. It just doesn't. It looks a little like a vacation home.
Yeah. I mean, Cyril is not like, I mean, it's a nice place, but what makes Cyril happy is not necessarily like the kind of thing you'll give a like 5 stars on Airbnb for. Like there is a pool.
Yeah.
And I got some dinosaur toys for him.
You ever just think about putting in a pool?
I don't have the money for that, Tanner, or the space, or the time.
Oh, okay. So your catio is more important than your son's pool.
Yeah, that is actually true. And what about you? You're still in your basement, podcasting from your basement.
I'm here in Connecticut. I'm still in the basement, the podcasting basement.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's good.
Weather's fine down here in the podcasting basement. I also take my calls down here during the day.
We're going to be talking today about... That's cool.
Thank you.
That's cool. We're going to be talking about a really good book today.
I was on a client call today.
Okay.
It's a major pharmaceutical company.
Okay.
And the agency. And they saw the Jar Jar on my back wall.
Okay.
And asked what it was all about.
What do you mean, what is it all about? Haven't you seen Phantom Menace, you said?
Yeah, what do you mean? It's art. It's fine art.
Yeah.
You ask Da Vinci what the Mona Lisa is all about?
Did they say, why do you have Jar Jar on your wall? Or were they like, what's that? What kind of Gungan is that?
They knew which Gungan it was.
Okay.
Which yeah. To me, adds insult to injury. They
yeah.
said, why do you have Jar Jar on your wall? And it's like, I get the question. If the question is, which Gungan is that?
Yeah.
And why have you chosen to celebrate it? That's a question I'm willing to to engage with and respond.
Right.
When the question is, why do you have Jar Jar on your wall? It's like, okay, that's, you're begging, is that begging the question?
No.
Because you've answered your question with the question.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, like, you, it's kind of, it's like a proto.
It's Jar Jar. What do you mean?
Yeah, yeah. You're begging the question.
Now I'm begging the question, yeah. Right? It prompts me to beg the question, which you know I hate to do.
Yeah. Why do I have Jar Jar on my wall? Because I need to have the world's most famous Gungan on my wall.
Yeah, can you suggest a Gungan, a better Gungan yeah. to have on my wall?
Father, what's his name?
Boss Nass.
Yeah. That's my only suggestion. We should talk about this book. I want to really spend every second available to us tonight exploring
this bad start.
Fascinating tome.
We're off to a bad start.
Okay. Well, I was riding the ship, and now you've unrighted it again, haven't you? Because now we're talking about that.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful. It's a tour de force.
Tour de force. I thought it was good. We got a new power couple in Stony Brook right in time, squeezed in right under the wire.
This is the last one, we should say. There's a super special.
Second to last Babysitter's Club book ever.
Yeah.
That we will ever read, ever.
Yeah, ever, I think. There, like, I've heard tell of some mysterious, like, there's a mysterious chain letter book.
Didn't we read that?
I don't think so. We read a Christmas one, but there's like a chain letter one. I don't want to say that we will never discover another Babysitter's Club book, but we're at a point where it's reasonable to say that that might be the case.
I don't have a path forward.
Yeah.
Other than, of course, retirement.
Right.
Discovering myself.
Mm-hmm.
Skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing, 2.7 seconds.
Big bull called Fu Manchu. Yeah.
And then the birds.
Yes.
Of course, is always sort of a backup plan.
Yeah, no, we've been over that. But we do, what we can do is enjoy what we have left, which is this book. And I want to talk about it. I want to introduce it. Let me just introduce it. My name is Jack. And what I say is, hi, hi.
Hi.
And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
It's a podcast wherein I, Jack Alexander Shepherd.
And my name is Tanner Greenring.
Talk about the classic novels of the Princess
Hola,
of...
Hola, me llamo Tanner Greenring.
Okay, that was fine. The classic novels of the Princess of the Prince of Towns.
I feel like we've been through so much together, Jack, and there was a time in our professional lives as podcasters together where I was taking daily Spanish lessons and really using the space of this podcast to try out some of my Spanish stuff.
Yeah.
And that was like... That was three careers ago now.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. This is going to be one of those episodes where I think there's a technical term for it, but it's like they didn't have time to do an episode, so they just like have a conversation and then like flashback to like the time you spoke Spanish or whatever.
Right, yeah.
We should do one of those.
We should do one of those. What else? What other kind of weird tics have we had over the years?
There's a big singing phase.
And you would get pissed about it.
Yeah, I would get annoyed about it.
You would talk about the board and how they wouldn't allow me to sing.
Yeah, so that was a classic. There's a arguing phase.
Arguing phase, which is a little bit, it's never left us, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've just kind of learned to tamp it down.
Yeah. I don't know what else, but I do know that we read a book this week. It was called Babysitter's Club Friends Forever, number 12, Claudia and the Disaster Date. It was by the hand that shakes.
In our personal lives.
St. Annabelle Matthews, Martin Stormborn, Soul Skinner, Mother of Clocks, Bane to Bats, first of her name, last of her kind, last hope for humankind. I feel like we always have like a slightly combative attitude.
Professionally?
In
on
our
the
personal
podcast,
lives.
Personally?
A little bit.
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
I think you're being pigheaded about that.
Okay. What I'm hoping to do is to talk about the book, you'll note.
Yeah.
That we read. It's called Friends Forever, number 12, Claudia and the Disaster Date. And it was, I thought, really good.
Okay.
It's a great one. Claudia is in it. Alan Gray is in it. The Babysitter's Club is in it. There's good, clean babysitting fun.
It's good, clean babysitting fun. There's Xboxes and stuff.
Yes.
There's mini golf. There's a love triangle, I think. I've picked up on a little bit of a love triangle.
I'm interested.
I picked up on a little romantic tension between...
Christy
and Alan.
Christy and AG. Yep, I saw that too.
Yeah, started to get a little whiff of romance off of Carrie Rettlin and
oh man,
Stacey McGill, maybe?
Well, are we doing our ship of the week?
Oh, we're doing... ship of the week.
I got two ships of the week this week.
Yeah.
You know, normally we bring in the deep voice men to do it, but I'm just going to tell you.
Arg, matey, welcome to me segment.
Okay. Yeah.
Ship of the week.
Welcome
aboard. Me, Captain Dong Crusher.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Captain of this seafaring vessel, the ship of the week.
Yeah. Can I come aboard?
Aye, matey, come aboard.
My name
But first you must walk the plank.
Is
or tell me what your ship of the week is.
Can I tell you my name?
Arg, yes.
I'm a famous sea captain as well. My name is Jack Jackson.
Arg, I have heard of ye.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm seeking the dead man's chest.
Yeah, and your boat is called?
My boat? I have to name my boat as well.
Arg, mine is the ship of the week.
Oh, yeah.
My vessel.
My boat.
And your vessel, matey. I've heard of your reputation, but have I heard of ye ship?
It's a small ship. You wouldn't have heard of it.
I would love to hear the name of it, though.
How did you name your ship?
Wait, what did mine was called the Dong Crusher.
No, your person's name is the Dong
Crusher. I'm Captain Dong Crusher. Yeah. How did I name me ship?
Yeah, ship of the week.
I'll tell ya. I entered it into a contest.
Okay.
And they said, now that is the ship of the week. And I said, that would make a good name for a boat.
Okay. Mine was called...
Before that, it was called the... Poon...
No.
That's it. That's why we changed the name.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Not popular.
My boat is called Jack Jackson's Small But Impressive Boat.
Arg, and what was your ship of the week,
Captain Jackson? And my ship of the week this week, I got two.
Arg.
Can I say both?
Arg, yes.
Let me start with one, and then I'll have you say one. It's called Stacey McBlack.
Ooh, Stacey McBlack.
Let me read you this passage.
McGill, yeah.
They all go on all of the Babysitter's Club. Let's talk about this. The entire Babysitter's Club goes on a date with Alan Gray, Carrie Rettlin, and Pete Black. The entire Babysitter's Club.
It starts as the entire Babysitter's Club going on a date with Alan Gray.
That's
the disaster. He's like, I would love to date the Babysitter's
Club. He actually says that at some point. Alan Gray says... Alan put one hand over his heart and raised the other. I promised to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Then he reached out and caught my hand. Now, when is my next date with the Babysitter's Club?
Yeah.
That's at the end of the novel. We haven't described it yet. I'm hyper aware of that, by the way. Don't worry, folks.
He doesn't know that he's just dating Claudia.
No, he's dating the whole club.
He thinks he's like this like playboy swinger who's like dating all five babysitters.
Here's my Stacey McBlack ship, and this is still Jack Jackson. Speaking.
Arg, yes.
From the prow of Jack Jackson's Small But Impressive Boat. And I say that the following passage. Carrie announced, and they're at a mini golf game. Carrie announced, Claudia's beating Dawn. Piece of cake, I said. And Dawn
Sorry?
Gave me a friendly shoulder punch.
Claudia's beating Dong?
Oh, no, it says here, in the book it says Dawn.
D-O-N.
No, I think it's D-O-N-G.
Dong. Claudia's beating Dong. Huh.
It doesn't... I don't get it. Anyway. Piece of cake, I said, and Dawn gave me a friendly shoulder punch. And I'm beating Marianne. Not by much, said Marianne. So what about you guys? Pete? Stacy? She may be a beginner, but she's too good for me. So far, said Pete, grinning at Stacy.
Pete Black.
And it's Pete Black. And
Pete Black had a star turn this week.
Yeah.
Being hot to trot.
For Stacey McGill. And we've seen it before. We've seen it before, but now it feels like it's coming. She's newly free, right? Oh, no. She's still with Ethan. But
yeah, she's a little bit with Ethan. That's never gonna last. You know, that's Rocky. Let me tell you about my ship of the week.
Okay, what's it called this week?
Do you believe in ships of the week, Jack?
I certainly do.
Because you're in one.
Okay, yeah.
That's from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
Let's play pairs, Carrie said. Did you say you haven't seen it?
I've seen it, but I don't remember enough of it to
trade quotes with stories.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
That's
okay.
What he says.
That's what he says.
And then they step into the moonlight and they turn into like zombies.
Okay.
Because you're in one.
Cool.
Let's play pairs, Carrie said. Fine, said Christy. Marianne, will you? But Carrie cut in. I can ask her myself. Marianne, will you do me the honor of being my partner? Sure, said Marianne, smiling. She and Carrie have had a little bond ever since he helped her with a problem involving a class bully.
Wow. And you know what I call that one? Can I tell you what I call that one?
Yeah. Carrie Ann?
Yeah, it's called Carrie Ann. That's a good one, right?
That is a good one. And then it sort of leaves Christy flapping in the breeze a little bit.
And then we have this love
Christy's
triangle.
Christy's got this thing with Alan. Where
she's
it's
got
like
a thing with Alan.
Sort of a fun, flirty, combative sort of situation, even though Alan has a girlfriend. Officially.
Yeah, officially. And just
called Claudia.
So folks feel comfortable.
And Dawn is nobody.
I, Jack Jackson, am now going to step back off of your ship into my boat and sail off. And that's the last we'll ever hear of. What's your name? Captain Dawn Crusher?
Yes.
Okay.
And the ship of the week.
And now I'd like to describe this novel.
You thought I would you were going to get Sorry, away with it. I was having a sip of beer.
A sip of the week.
Sip of the week.
Can I describe the book?
Yes.
It's great. It's so good. Guys, it's so good. It's such a good one. I loved this. I love
good
this
book,
one.
Engaging content written by all.
What's happening? You all right? What's going on, man? You need me to call
Sorry,
somebody?
I've had this like.
It's like
kind of
heartburn?
It's not a heartburn. It's worse.
What is it?
Jack.
Where are you feeling it? Come on, talk to me.
All over my body. All over my body.
It's like a tingling?
Yes.
Okay. A good tingle or a bad tingle?
Diarrhea.
Okay.
Erection lasting over 48 hours.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Oh, I think... Wait, just give me a second.
You're passing
okay,
something.
It's passing.
Okay.
Oh, I think it was a Thack attack.
It was a Thack attack. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, and those come on so quickly, and they just as fast disappear. Some lingering effects, obviously, that like stays with you for a while, having a Thack attack.
Yeah.
I don't know if
your eyes still glow like fire.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the diarrhea stuff, that's... I don't know if that's related, honestly.
Yeah, to something else.
I don't know, like Occam's razor or whatever, but like...
Yeah.
That could be something else.
Well, I am a no Nola Thack girl.
Yes, I've heard that about you.
Yeah, and I did hit a big old Nolan one this week.
Right, yes, I heard that about you too.
And I'm
Cy Young.
Three-time Cy Young Award winner, Nolan Ryan. Yeah.
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 The thing is, we had it in one with Thack Attack. I don't know why we kept insisting on exploring that space. But, I'm glad we did. We came up with some good stuff.
But Nola Thacker wrote this one, and in case they hadn't put it in the acknowledgments, you would know from this passage where Marianne is painting a mural in the B-plot. Beneath the porch swing, a large dog with glasses read, "How to House Train Your Human." Okay, Nola. I looked it up to see if that was a book by Nola Thacker.
Is it?
No, it would be amazing if it were.
The Scholastic Liars would never let that kind of shit fly.
I bet she put in, she put in the like five dogs all reading all of Nola Thacker's published works about dogs.
Yeah,
and the Scholastic
like the,
Liars were
it's like the dogs playing poker.
Yeah.
Like they're all reading Nola Thacker books.
I would, if that painting existed, I would hang that on my bedroom wall.
And that's like a chapter. She like goes into very intricate details about this painting of these five dogs reading Nola Thacker books and Scholastic just like big red X over that chapter.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm gonna describe this novel and then we'll have you do it.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Steamy. It's steamy. You ready?
Steam?
It's
you mean
steamy.
STEM.
It's steamy.
Science.
No, it is steamy.
Tea.
Forget it.
engineering forget and mathematics.
It. You'll get it as I read it. For? Just forget it. Teaching.
Does it?
I don't know. Theology. I'm gonna look it up. Theology.
It's not theology. STEM.
Theaetetus. That's the Platonic dialogue. Who cares? Why are you looking
science,
this up?
Science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
Okay.
STEM, not STEAM.
Yeah, and that is what the acronym that I didn't say stands for. So thanks, everybody, for bearing with us on that. Can I please?
You did say STEAM.
I said steamy. I said it's steamy.
STEM-y.
Okay, can I please read this?
Yeah.
I mean, say it. I made it up. I'm making it up. Ready?
Yes.
Here we go. A man who is shunned because he can't play by the rules. A woman who is interested because she can't help herself. A love that is intoxicating because it is forbidden. A young and talented artist, Claudia Lynn Kishi, wants nothing more than to turn away from the affections of the dark, dangerous, and mysterious Alan Gray and focus on her promising career in design. But the more she pulls away, the more something inside her, something fierce and untamable, pulls her back into a life of passion that feels as much like destiny as it does like disaster. This steamy, sensuous, and startling novel provides the dramatic conclusion to the epic romance that began with Claudia Gets Her Guy, and it will leave you breathless. Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 12, Claudia and the Disaster Day.
Woo! Good.
Yeah. That
and that was
up.
Fine.
Thank you.
We don't need to explore this any further.
I don't need your adulation. No, we're going to put 60 seconds on a big bag clock.
We just agreed we don't need to explore
it
any further.
5 seconds. I've already got a big bag clock ready to go. Are you ready? You're going to describe this novel, and you are going to begin now.
Claudia is going on dates with Alan, and she is anxious about it because she doesn't want to be caught dating Alan Gray, especially by Christy or the Babysitter's Club. Alan is being weird. He's not being funny or fun. He's just being robotic because he's trying to prove that he's not the chuckle nuts that he was previously. Meanwhile, Claudia and Erica Blumberg have a job together at the Stony Brook Library in the kids department. Claudia decides she wants to paint a mural on the wall and asks their supervisor if she can, and the supervisor agrees that it's a good idea. But Mrs. Kishi says, I'm mad at you for going up behind my back to make this happen. Erica's trying to find her birth parents. Claudia and Alan have a confrontation, and you start dating the Babysitter's Club, and he agrees to stop being so weird. Erica finds her birth parents. Claudia and Mrs. Kishi make up.
End time. That was fine. Got a little lackluster at the end. For how exciting of a book this is?
I think it snapped into focus right at the end.
Yeah.
If anything, it was lackluster early on.
It's a tour de force. It's a wonderful novel. Here's my question for you. How did you feel about it? How did you feel?
Which part? Erica?
Let me
Ms.
read
Kishi?
You this passage. I'll read you the passage. Okay. Tell me how it makes you feel.
Okay.
Alan turned to me. I rolled my eyes. You're too much, I said. As long as I'm not too much for you, he answered, sounding anxious and hopeful. No, I replied, touched. Good. He smiled. It wasn't a goofy grin. It was a sort of special smile, one that he seemed to have saved for me. Then he said, I like going out with the BSC. Really, I do. But I guess I'd like to think of you as my girlfriend. I gulped. Possibly I blushed. Then I said, okay, boyfriend. Alan's smile was huge and wonderful.
Wow.
How does that make you feel? Because it makes me feel weird.
I like it. for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
I feel like Alan was the underdog. Alan's the fun guy.
Yeah.
And speaking as someone who's been the fun guy.
Yeah.
For most of his life, it's nice to see one of our kind
reach beyond his lights.
Yeah.
And snag a true talent like Claudia Kishi.
I would love to see your special smile that you only reserve for your girlfriend. May I see
Sarah?
It? Yeah.
Okay. Ready? I'm gonna move out from behind this mic.
Because Alan has a special smile that he saves for Claudia.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what your special smile looks like.
All right, I'm gonna move out from behind this mic and show it to you. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah. I think I've seen that smile.
What do you think?
I think I've seen it before.
Okay.
I don't believe you that's just your special Sarah smile. Oh, that's not, that's too much.
That was too much? So you want somewhere in between.
No, if that's your special smile, fine, but I don't want to see it. Are you done?
I'm done, yeah.
Here, do you want to see mine?
Yeah. This is good audio. Okay, Tanner's moved his mic. Okay. Yeah, it looks... Tanner did a smile that you would do if you had just had an argument with someone about whether a movie starred like fucking Ryan Reynolds or Jake Gyllenhaal, and you said... Tanner said Jake Gyllenhaal and you said Ryan Reynolds, and you looked it up and Tanner was right, and that's what the smile...
It's also my like it's my Zoom,
and I'm sure Jamie gets like, it all the time.
It's my Zoom icon.
Oh yeah.
And every time I go into a meeting with like coworkers or clients, it automatically pops up this picture of me doing this like little shit eating grin. And I always try to position my face in a way and grin so that when I turn on my camera, I'm like in the exact same position as my photo.
That's good.
And no one ever notices.
It looks like Jar Jar Binks is kind of doing that same smile too.
Yeah.
It must be pretty disconcerting. I'm surprised any of these clients stick around.
That's Jar Jar's bedroom smile.
That's his bedroom smile. Yeah, you can't see it. It's an audio medium. Tanner's got a big poster of Jar Jar Binks doing his special bedroom smile right behind him, and it's what we like to look at while we record this podcast. What do you think? Should we talk about something else before we take a break?
No.
No. Okay, you want to take a quick break.
Or I don't care. You got something? You got something?
No, I've got endless things to talk about. I've got so much to talk about. Maybe we should take a break and just really ramp into it.
I got something.
Okay.
I got something.
Okay, fine. What?
I got something quick and dirty. If we want to get quick and dirty.
Say it.
It's summertime.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be dark until about 9. What happened to you? I said, cleverly changing the subject. Christy was wearing shorts and a t-shirt, as well as a large Band-Aid on one knee, a smaller one on her elbow, and quite a bit of dirt down one side of her body. A slide at home plate, she said impatiently. What?
Okay. That was subtle. I think only I can know what you're talking about. Is that the world's most subtle version of...
Double play ball right at Simmons.
Claudia and Stacey.
And Stacey, baseball idiot.
Hits himself with the bat.
Blink and you miss it. But it's there. It's Claudia and Stacey baseball idiot.
Like a what? A what? Plate? What? That made no sense.
What
the fuck are you talking about? You have a Band-Aid because of some kind of a plate situation? What the fuck?
Did it break?
Yeah. That's good. I loved it. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back. And I've just got so much more to talk about this fantastic novel. Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process.
Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, let's dive right back into this novel, Tanner. It's wonderful. Claudia dates Alan Gray. We talked about it in Claudia Gets Her Guy, but in this one, she really dates Alan Gray. They're dating, and he also dates the whole BSC. Mm. I want to read you a passage from their date because it bears on some deep lore that we have uncovered related to these novels and the circumstances surrounding how the Sitter Cycle was created.
Okay, that was quite a run-on sentence, but I think I understood what you were saying.
I think you'll find that the sentence scans. It's just a long one. I write like this, too.
Yeah.
If you look back.
Yeah. I think I got what you're saying, but yeah.
So they go see a movie, and here's what Alan says. I can't believe you haven't seen The Tsunami Monster's Revenge. It's a great movie, even if it's a cartoon. I've been wanting to see it, I confess, but I couldn't convince any of my friends to go. I think it should be persuade. You convince someone of something or that something, and you persuade someone to something. Anyway, but I couldn't convince any of my friends to go.
I thought Alan was saying that. I was like, fuck, that's like surprisingly sophisticated linguistics.
No, that was just me. My grandfather used to talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to get that in there for him. I couldn't convince any of my friends to go. I love animated films. I mean, the good ones are real works of art, but my friends just don't understand. Tanner, now I would like to read you a passage, if I may.
Okay.
I would like to read you a passage from the Final Fantasy Wikia.
Yep.
And it is a description, Tanner, of a creature called the Leviathan.
Mm-hmm.
A massive sea serpent that effortlessly controls water and rules all who dwell in the oceans. The raging swell of his tsunami is enough to consume even the fiercest of foes.
What game is that from?
It's all of, so Leviathan has been depicted as both male and female, depending on the Final Fantasy game. A giant sea serpent, he first appeared as a monster that swallowed the party in Final Fantasy II. Leviathan has since gone on to become one of the most prominent summons in the series alongside Bahamut. Being known by titles such as the Sea King or Lord of All Waters, Leviathan's trademark attack is Tidal Wave, also known as Tsunami, which calls on a massive wave of water to damage all enemies.
Oh, he's a summon.
Tanner, Claudia, and Alan Gray went to go see a movie called The Tsunami Monster's Revenge about David Levitan.
Leviathan. Right. Yes. David Levitan. And he's a prominent summon in the Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, which is scary.
is what I'm hearing now.
Yeah.
Huh. I've played several.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't recognize them, but you know what? I don't think if you put David Levitan in a lineup in front of me,
yeah,
could not tell you what he looked like.
Well, I think it, like tentacles, I would imagine.
Tentacles
like,
make sense to me, yeah.
Some large number of tentacles, right?
Yep.
Inky black eyes, right? Definitely.
Yep.
I would say chitinous is a word that's coming to mind. I would describe him as chitinous. Sort of like
chitinous in like a crustaceous capacity or like a arachnid capacity.
I think maybe somewhere in between those two things.
I guess they're not that dissimilar.
Yeah. And skittering, I would think some amount of skittering would be.
I don't think it's skittering because I think it's definitely like glorpier than that.
It's glorpier. Okay, so glorpy. So we could do glorpy. Like if we talked to like one of those like police sketch artists and they were like describe David Levitan.
Yeah, glorpy chitinous.
We would say glorpy chitinous. I don't know how many tentacles, but like more you than, can't you can't
more
go
than
wrong,
one
like err on the side of too many, you know.
More than
like,
one, less than 1,000.
Yeah.
That is as close as I can get.
Yeah.
To a description of number of tentacles.
But that's interesting of Nola in this novel.
And also
them,
like
yeah.
So inky black that you almost can't make him out, regardless of environment.
Right.
It could be a white box.
Because if you saw him in all his glory,
your mind would be flayed.
But so that was an interesting little sly thing that Nola did in there. Dangerous of her, frankly. I wouldn't do it. But to just be like, hey, I'm just going to have Alan and Claudia go see a movie, and the movie they see on their fucking disaster date is about the fucking Leviathan.
Yeah, and it's also an anime.
Well, and then they describe his basement. So the B plot of this novel is that Claudia is working at the library and gets in some kind of inscrutable fight with her mom about...
It was extremely inscrutable. It felt like nonsense.
It felt like nonsense, but about whether she should paint a mural or not. But this is the relevant passage. When Alan comes to visit her and she leads him down a narrow flight of stairs.
To the secret room.
In the fucking bottom of the library.
It's like something out of It.
What is this? A dungeon? Alan asks. I led the way down a narrow flight of stairs at the back of one of the book storage closets in the reference corner of the main library. I pushed open the door at the bottom. The floor there was made of uneven bricks. Two steps brought me to a brick wall with a door just to the right of it. I pushed that door open and we were in a small square room made of bricks. A dehumidifier hummed in the corner, but other than that, the room was quiet. Bookshelves covered most of the walls, but in places you could see the fan pattern in which the bricks had been laid, which echoed the pattern beneath our feet. It is a dungeon, said Alan.
Is it a dungeon? Or is it just beyond this door?
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, so I had thought it was a description, and it may be both, of the Leviathan's dungeon beneath Scholastic.
I think it might be both, but I'm wondering what's just beyond this door.
It's just beyond this door.
Well, it could be just like his Xbox and stuff.
Like your Xbox and stuff?
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
No.
Like PlayStation, like whatever the new Switch that, I don't know, I can't keep up with it. There's a new Switch, right? The next gen Switch.
It's important that you know that you can leave at any time.
It's important that you know you can leave at any time.
Okay.
I meant what I said. The helicopter is on standby to take you whenever you want to go.
I meant what I said. The helicopter's on standby to take you whenever you want to go.
Do you have the new Switch?
There is no new Switch. I don't know where you're getting that information. There's a new PlayStation and a new Xbox coming out.
Didn't they do a thing where like they put all the NES classic games on like one box that you could get?
Not every game, but there is something like that.
Can we play that?
In
the play on the door? Yeah.
I don't have that, but I have a Raspberry Pi.
Okay.
Sort of like an emulation. Not a literal Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
It's an emulator console.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of made from like a low spec computer.
Yeah.
So it's got every NES game on it.
Well, so why would I get in a helicopter when you have something like that?
You tell me, man. I'm just saying the helicopter's standing by.
Okay. Yeah.
If that's something you choose, you decide you want to do.
Okay.
So the Leviathan is the one at the playroom all along.
Right. And but Mr. Gray will see you
Mr.
now.
Mr. Gray will see you now.
And this is our segment where we talk about what Alan Gray was up to in this novel.
Right. And Alan Gray was up to a lot this novel. And yeah. He went into the Claudia's secret playroom this week.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite passage or do you want me to read you one?
It's tough because it was sort of a book long, Mr. Gray will see you now.
Yeah. No, it is.
So, no, I don't have a specific passage that I captured.
I can give you two. This is like a Jekyll and Hyde novel, right? There are two sides of Alan Gray. There's a moment in the novel that I think sums it up, where Claudia is hiding her relationship with Alan Gray, and she comes to a babysitter's club, and she says, "I'm not late. The clock on my desk says 5:30 exactly." At that moment, the numbers rolled over to 5:31. Christy intoned, "This meeting at the BSC will now come to order," and it did. I fell across the bed. Phew. "Where have you been?" asked Christy, being her typical blunt self. "Lost in the dark," I said. "Lost in the dark." So that could be a reference to the fact that they were in a dark movie. But I think that this is a novel about people who are lost.
Joseph
people
Conrad.
Who are at a turning point. Yeah, exactly. Heart of Darkness. They've come to a turning point where they find themselves lost. In the middle right. of, what does Dante say? Now, mezzo di cammin, in the middle of
Warlord
the road
kings.
Of life, I found myself in a dark woods where the correct way was not clear. And right. and Heart of Darkness. But so, yeah. Mr. Gray, in this case, he has also come to a turning point where they're, like, the two sides of him are splitting apart. He's lost in the dark, too.
Right.
Because there's, like, prank Alan and, like, suave as hell Alan. And like
but suave
he doesn't
as hell
know
Alan
which one
isn't,
to be.
Isn't terribly compelling is what we've discovered. Suave as hell Alan is sort of a pill. He's got no humor.
There's a good version of him that I won't read the whole passage, but he like at the movie, he like goes and gets her popcorn and he's like he's wrapped very carefully wrapped the straw for her soda in like a paper towel.
Right, and she's very touched by that.
And she's very touched by it.
God,
and that's like
so
that's...
easy to date Claudia. That's all it takes.
I thought it was sweet, but I now I'm certain that's all it takes. She does, she like goes wild for it.
Yeah.
"You remembered napkins," I said. "When it comes to movie theater popcorn, buttered or not, napkins are crucial to the survival of whatever you're wearing, but not everyone agrees with me. Lots of guys and at least one girl, our fearless BSC president, Christy Thomas, believe that jeans can double as napkins." "For you, anything," said Alan and laughed a little to show he was joking. He pulled a straw from his jacket pocket, carefully unwrapped it, and slid it into the drink. So that's the one side, right? That's actually suave. There's a later side of Alan where he's like trying too hard and he like all of the rough edges come off and he's just like this robotic figure.
Yeah. I had a friend in high school
yeah.
named Ken who was a well-liked and handsome and popular guy.
Yeah.
And he used that nature to be as slovenly as humanly possible.
Okay.
And he used to wear a red t-shirt to school pretty regularly that right in the middle of his belly had a noticeably large grease stain because he would regularly go to the movies and he would pull his shirt up and he would fill it with popcorn.
Oh, that's horrifying.
And then just sit and eat out of his shirt.
Jesus.
And then just wear that shirt to school.
And you respect this?
We were friends. We were yeah. good friends. We played a lot of like Rogue Squadron together.
Yeah.
So
I had a friend when I was a preteen who had a pee corner in his room. Guys are the fucking
okay.
worst, man.
That sucks.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I just remembered it. He had a corner
just,
in his room.
Just
where he
in the corner?
Urinate. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. That's interesting to think about, isn't it?
It's interesting to think about, and it's not gosh, I'm wondering if I want
to. As two men with young sons, too, where it's like, this is like in your fucking future. Like some version of this fucking shit is in.
I wonder if I want to say what is on my mind.
Probably not.
Which is, I didn't have something too dissimilar from P Corner.
Okay.
I had a thing where I lived in, my room had a sliding glass door that led outside.
Yeah.
To where my family's hot tub was.
Okay.
And sometimes when I was feeling particularly lazy, I would just sort of slide the glass door open just a crack.
Yeah.
Just enough to let it fly. But like, that doesn't compare to pee corner, right? I was peeing outside onto gravel.
No, that's what you're describing is like beautiful and fresh compared with what the degradation that whatever that was.
Yeah.
What a nightmare boys are.
And never have boys.
That's terrible. But so there's Prank Allen too. And let me just read. Here's my pure Mr. Gray will see you now moment. And this is Prank Allen like coming out finally after he's been like suppressing it. And this is the real Allen. The phone rang. I knew it was Allen. I picked it up. Hello? Talking through his nose, Allen said, Babysitter's Club, have I got a baby for you? How long do you sit on them before they hatch? Alan, I said, how did you guess? That's good.
That is good.
That's Alan. That's pure Alan. And now I would like to do a segment within a segment.
Oh, okay.
And so we're one layer deep in the dream and it's inception, but we're going to kick down.
Don't think it counts if you finish a segment.
No.
And then announce you're doing a segment within a segment.
What does for this?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I don't totally know how to do this.
You're pretty inexperienced in doing segments within segments. You need me to take the wheel?
Well, you don't know what the segment is.
I know, but maybe I can help guide your hand a little bit. Like
so
Ghost.
Far, you're not. Okay, it's like Ghost. All right, I'm just sitting in front of the pot. The Potter's wheel.
Yeah.
And what's playing? The Elvis song?
Yeah,
it's been so long since I saw Ghost, and I'm having trouble making the pot.
Yeah,
and then you reach around. Hey, Tanner's put his arms around me.
Jack, I want to introduce. I know you're in the middle of Mr. Gray will see you now.
Yeah, we're still talking about it.
But I'm not going
to
let you
finish. I have
more
to say about Mr.
I know
Gray
you
say
have me. More yeah. to say, and yes. I'm not going to let you finish. But I would love to introduce a segment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it is...
Okay, and the way we do it is, I don't know yet, but it's a new one. And the way that it goes is something like this. And I need your help with this.
Yeah, no, and I'm...
Hey! Okay, and Tanner's reaching his arms around me again. And the pot is looking great. What's your dad got in that room?
My dad?
Yeah.
Mark?
What's behind your dad's... That door of your dad's.
Mark?
Yeah, sure.
He has a room in his house where he and his wife hang up all their running medals. The medals they get for finishing races.
Their Xbox and stuff?
He doesn't own an Xbox.
Okay.
So, my half-brother does.
No. It's got to be your dad.
Oh, dad, right. Well, my half-brother Alex lives with my dad.
Okay, and he has a room with his Xbox and stuff?
There's a room with an Xbox in it, yeah.
Oh, I should tell you, the helicopter's standing by outside. It could take you away at any moment.
What helicopter? Wait, you're just reintroducing Alan Gray will see you now.
No,
you're introducing... I just remembered.
I'm introducing a new segment, and it's called Mr. Gray will see you now.
Mr. Gray will see you now.
It's called...
Daddy Grant will see
Dad
you now.
Dad Watch will see you now.
It's also called Dad Watch. But it's Mr. Gray.
It's Dottie Gray made an appearance, and you thought you were titillated by
Alan?
Alan Gray?
Yeah.
And his sort of... adventures in kinky secret room stuff.
Wait till you hear about
Wait
what
till
Mr.
you
Gray
meet
does.
Mr. Gray.
Side by side, Alan and I walked to the van. Alan held the door for me to get in and continued to hold it until everyone else was in too, like the entire Babysitter's Club gets in this van. Then he climbed into the front next to his father. Mr. Gray said, "We brought the minivan for miniature golf."
Get it?
Alan gave his father a pained look, which surprised me. But there you go. So that's it. Two layers deep.
Gosh, would I love that guy to spank me, huh?
But that's, I think the way that works in the movie is Alan's like, sorry, Alan. Mr. Gray is like, what's behind the store? It's my weird room. And then he opens the door and in the room is just his dad. And then the dad is like, oh, we got this minivan for miniature golf.
His dad's like, we have an Xbox and stuff.
Yeah.
Stick around.
That's good. Those are all good things. Would you like me to bring up another topic?
Because
I got one.
Notes. Yeah.
This is a little bit scary. The C plot is that Erica Blumberg, who's great in this, really lovely.
Erica Blumberg really grew on me. I'm disappointed that I feel like they, I don't know the delicate way to say this, but I feel like they fucked up. And I have nothing against Abby, but Erica has really taken a star turn in the Friends Forever series, and Abby has really taken a back seat.
Yeah, Erica is
in a way that, like, it's like, do they regret going with Abby instead of Erica? Like, it seems like it at times, doesn't it?
They talked about her as a potential new babysitter when, like, around the time when Abby came on board, like, they were short staffed because Dawn had moved and they were getting a lot of work, and like,
right.
Erica was on the list.
I just, like, she's so vibrant.
And, like, they maybe the Scholastic Liars are, like, they were pushing for her, and then Anne made an executive decision, and then it's, like, it's always, like, what could have been.
And she's so, like, she's so close to Abby. Like,
she's funny. She's super smart.
She's adopted rather than a twin, so it's, like.
Right.
That's a slight
She's got
pivot.
A thing. Yeah.
Yeah. She's very close to what Abby is.
Yeah, she's very cool, and she and Claudia are striking up what feels like a real friendship.
Yeah. Yeah, I and she's cool and she's nice and I like her.
But yeah, the C plot is that she's like trying to find her birth parents,
right?
And they do find her birth parents by going through her adoptive parents' like files, and then it's weird, but. In the early interactions between Claudia and Erica, the following passage really jumped out at me. My mother nodded approvingly. You're early, Erica. You're never late when you're early, Erica replied. That sounds like something a parental unit would say, I commented. They're obsessed, and I think everyone was in like 1999 or 2000 with saying parental unit or like maternal unit instead of mom. That was a thing. We all did it. If you're too young for that to be meaningful to you, just know that there was a time when, like, literally everyone, you could be the coolest person in your school or the biggest nerd, but at some point you were like, my parental units.
Right.
This is what we said.
Dehumanizes them. In a lot of ways, right? And that was the point.
That sounds like something parental. Yeah, it does. That sounds like something a parental unit would say, I commented. Erica grinned. My father. He keeps all the clocks in the house fast, and there are a lot of clocks.
Interesting. What does that mean?
Well, just to take a wild guess, it sounds like she's describing the father of clocks.
Oh. Anne's other?
The other side.
Right.
You can't have one without the other. Right.
I'm trying to think of some characters from pop culture who have lots of clocks. First one that comes to mind, Dr. Emmett Brown.
From Back to the Future?
Yes.
Are there some Marvel folks who have a lot of clocks?
There is a Batman villain called Calendar Man. I don't know if
Oh, right.
He has
yeah, we've talked about
clocks.
Calendar Man. I bet he does. I bet he has a couple.
Gotta have some.
But so this is... So Nola... Think
Clock
about
King.
This.
Clock King.
Okay, Clock King.
There's a guy called Clock King. He's also a Batman villain. That's who I'm thinking of. And he's got lots of clocks.
Okay.
I'm here to clean your clock, Fugit.
Don't count on it, Batman. When it comes to clocks, I am king. En garde.
Interesting.
But so think about what Nola is doing here. Nola has written a good, clean babysitting fun book. There's good, clean babysitting fun in this book. No fucking question about it. And it's good and it's clean and it's babysitting
that's the,
fun.
That's the B plot.
The B plot is like they're trying to paint this mural in the library. It goes wrong, but like there's lots of babysitting the kids who are painting the mural and it's fucking wonderful. But that's what Nola likes to do. That's what she's here for. She's here to give us a little bit of levity. But in the meantime, like in the like fucking like nooks and crannies of this book, she has Alan and Claudia go to a fucking date that's a movie about the Leviathan.
Right.
Then they sneak into the fucking Leviathan's playroom. And then there's this character who's the father of clocks, who's like Anne's like other side, the other side of Anne, like the darkness that she is the light of. Like the shadow that she casts. Inside right. the shadow that Anne casts
or
is the father of clocks.
Is Anne the shadow?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it, at some point, it becomes academic.
Right. It doesn't matter. But, one is the inverse of the other in it.
Yeah.
I just like, I don't, when you apply phrases like the light and the shadow, it implies like a good and an evil.
I would say it this way. If you look at Anne, Anne is bright. And if you look at her, you will be blinded. And you will see nothing.
Yes,
you will see darkness.
And it's the Joel Edgerton,
right?
Will Smith
yes.
vehicle from Netflix.
Bright.
Bright. And yeah. that is what we're talking about now. They're fantasy cops in a fantasy world. Joel Edgerton is a orc man.
I still haven't seen it.
Will Smith is a human. That, okay, yes.
Yeah.
And we've come full circle.
We've cracked yes. the code.
And that Anne is bright. And
yeah. And so this is her signal that this is that somehow like the other an other entry into the darkest timeline.
Right. Wow. Never thought we'd talk about the Joel Edgerton Will Smith vehicle Bright ever again, but here we are. God, what a film.
I haven't seen it. I did see I did see Spectral and you guys must watch it.
If you haven't seen Spectral, give that a watch.
You got to see it.
Hell of a film.
There are ghosts and they fight the military.
Yep.
We've got to go.
Oh, Jesus. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to go.
Okay. I'll let you take the wheel for just 1 second.
Okay. And I know it's not the way we introduce it in the main series, Jack, but it is Oops All segments, so...
Yeah, that's true.
I would like to talk about a Cenobite
okay.
that I burned this week.
This is going to be
Jack.
Very confusing for 95% of people who listen to this podcast. I will remind you.
Oh, yes. And won't it be so delectable? And the Cenobite I burned this week, Jack, was called Baron.
Baron, okay.
But here's what you need to know about Baron.
Mm-hmm.
He's a mysterious Cenobite who has been around at least since the 15th century.
In Hellraiser.
As he was first mentioned in the personal diaries of the notorious child killer, Gilles de Rais. Baron was a Cenobite who helped Philip Le Marchand create the Lament configuration and perhaps other puzzle boxes. And he is a Cenobite from Hellraiser, and we burn them in yeah. our little sister, big episode... Patreon show.
And I'm burning one called Chalkis. She's a Cenobite who joined Alistair's Gash and committed several forms of treason against Hell by defying Leviathan and taking it upon themselves to wipe out.
When we are feeling amused on the Patreon show, for yeah. a little while at least, we don't do it anymore, but we yeah. would burn Cenobites.
Yeah. And
on yes. in a great conflagration.
Yes.
A great bonfire of flesh and misery.
Yeah. And it's our burn of the week, isn't it?
It's burn of the week.
That's all you need to know if you don't listen to the Patreon show. It's how we do burn of the week.
Yeah.
On the Little Sister Little Episodes, which you can find at patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Let's do a quick burn and then we'll go.
Not quick because mine's a fucking run.
I think mine's a run too. So
okay,
we can
it's probably the same one, which will save
if it's a run,
time.
You can read it and I'll finish it off. And that's perfect. I love that.
This time, Alan and Christy were standing there. Uh-oh. You could go outside and watch the grass grow, Christy suggested to Alan. Oh, really? Alan's eyebrows went up. Is that how you spend your time? Hi, guys, I said. Can I recommend any books for you? You'll have to make your selections quickly, though. The library closes in 15 minutes. Christy, who looked more than a little steamed that Alan had zinged her, said...
Stem? Did you say stemmed? Sorry, stem. Science, technology, education.
Engineering, mathematics. No, I said steamed.
It sounded like you said stemmed.
No, it's a totally different word.
Okay.
The picture books are over there, Alan. Alan said to me, I read Fell. Fell? I repeated blankly. The book you recommended by M.E. Kurt. You did? I said. You said she was an excellent writer. She is. And there are more books about the same character. His name is Fell, and he... Claudia's a little busy right now for a book report, Alan, said Christy. I've been looking at Alan, feeling deeply flattered that he'd read the book, even though I hadn't exactly recommended it. Mallory had, really. Christy's words jerked me back to the unpleasant situation developing between Alan and Christy, with me in the middle. He smiled hugely. When you learn to read, Christy, he said, I recommend it.
That's very strong.
Yeah.
It's a very good thing to say.
Yeah.
But Christy is not undone by this. She's a little bit on her back foot, but you can't fucking count Christy out.
Not in a battle of wits between Christy and Alan.
No.
You can't count either of them out.
Christy began to sputter. I said quickly, you guys, stop it. If you're going to fight, go outside. We're not fighting, said Christy. I do not engage in battles of wit with the unarmed. That's like fucking Oscar Wilde.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
It is pretty good.
I think that When You Learn to Read is like a pure burn. Like, I recommend this for when you learn to read. And yeah. Christy's just like pulling out some, like, it sounds good, but it's like very literary and polished in a way that maybe doesn't pack the same punch. Alan Gray is flawless in this novel.
Yeah, I can't believe that this entire series of books, all 135 regular original canon books, all 10 super specials, all 15 mysteries, all 10 portrait collections, was this redemptive arc of Alan Gray.
That's what it is. Yeah. It was about Alan
Gray.
This
entire book was just the character journey of Alan Gray.
It does seem like it.
Isn't that an interesting choice?
That's an interesting choice by Nola and Anne. Well, we'll find out what happens next week, because there's one more.
There's one more, and then we're retiring and we're hitting the beaches.
Yeah, we're going to hit the beaches.
We're going to go hit the beaches of Boca Raton and let the birds eat us and carry us into heaven.
Because that's what you do at the beach. I'd love to thank you, Tanner, for bearing with me this week.
Hey, you're welcome.
I'd like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us. I would like to remind everybody to please subscribe to our Patreon. You can find it at patreon.com/BSCC podcast. It's a whole other podcast where we sing the descriptions and we also talk about the Little Sister books, and it's a great way to support our show. Please also do buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. We got t-shirts, we got totes, we got stickers, we got all sorts of good stuff over there, and it is another great way to support our show. You can also support our show by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving us a rating and a review. And we like that when you do that, as long as it's nice. So please be nice.
If you're not going to be nice, don't do it.
Yeah, because it makes us sad. But do please leave a rating and review. It's a great way to help other people to discover the show. Another great way to help people to discover the show, honestly, tell them about it. Tell a friend. Hey, want to dive in on a show that you probably have to start from the beginning on that's just finished the entire run of books? Now's a great time.
Do you have time to listen to 5 years worth of podcast?
Please do join our Facebook group at Baby Nation is the name of the group. You can find it by going to our Facebook page, which is Babysitters Club Club. And the group is where all the action happens and everyone in there is nice and good. All that remains is for me to say this week that we read a novel. It was called Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 12, Claudia and the Disaster Date. Next week, we're going to be reading a little book, I think a big book. Maybe we'll split it into two parts.
Hey, did we discuss how there was no disaster date and every date they went on was actually great?
No, it's a weird one because all the dates are good, including the mini golf one. We didn't discuss it, but it's misnamed. Next week, we're going to be reading a book called Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, Super Special, number 2, Graduation Day.
I can't believe you've done this.
Yeah. Scary and weird. All that remains now is for me to say that this week my name has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom.
Zendaya's name is Michi.
Okay, no, I'm still talking.
Oh, sorry.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember
Zendaya's
the delays.
Name is Michi.
No, I'm still talking.
I thought you were done.
I'm still talking.
Okay.
Remember the Delaney's. Remember the Trip Man. Take your dream horse through that maze. You can say it.
Zendaya's name is Michi.
And that's from the Patreon.
The little sister.
Big episode.
Big episode. Elite babies.
Baby elite.
Elite.
Something.
Little big episodes. I don't remember.
It's tough to say. Claudia's wearing a bra now. And the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented. What are you looking at? Because I felt like
I
don't
want to tell you.
I lost your attention about 2 to 3 minutes ago.
I don't want to tell you.
You were just kind of going through the motions.
No, we were talked about how we.
No, I know. I'm just saying that I got a feeling that I only had a half of your
attention.
Did
the Gungan stuff?
What are you looking at?
Nothing. You.
No, you're clearly not. I'm looking at you, and you're not.
You have my full. I'm taking notes.
No, you're not. That is inconceivable.
No, I'm taking notes.
Okay. Well, what is it? What are you writing? What are the notes about?
Notes about our episode.
Let me see it. Hold it up so I can read it.
I just showed you.
No, hold it up so I can read it. Wants to do... You're taking notes about work. Your job. Fucking...
Taking notes.
This is not...
I'm taking notes about the podcast.
No, you're not. Why would you? Why would you take notes while we're doing... I want you to engage...
I was doodling this. Okay. I was doodling this snake.
You were doodling a snake.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.